Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
This morning, though, we are in Acts chapter 8. You can turn there in your Bibles. We're going to be focusing on the story of Philip and the Ethiopian government official. And as you're turning there today, I think there are two types of people in this world. Two types. Generally speaking, two types of people. I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm not talking about gender. I'm not talking about whether you prefer Ford over Chevy. I'm not talking about whether you prefer, are there Pepsi people here? Are there Coke people here? All right, I'm not talking about that. Are there Reds people here? Yeah. Are there Indians fans here? Not talking about, there's not many Indians fans here. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Usually you get a little bit more than that, but I'm not talking about that kind of type of person. I'm talking about whether or not you're a planner. Are you a planner? Or are you a procrastinator? How many planners do we have here? How many procrastinators? So most of the procrastinators will raise their hand later. Right? I think I'm a little bit of a hybrid. Maybe I'm a third type of person. But there are some tasks that I'm all about planning for. I'm all about the plan. I'm all about what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? You know, for my Sunday morning sermons, for example, I'm a planner, and Pastor Vicky can attest to this. I like to plan things out. I'm usually studying months in advance, and it drives me nuts if I'm like setting a week before and I don't know what I'm going to preach about that next Sunday. I like to study months in advance. I like to plan out sermon series, and I just like to get that out there because it makes me feel like I somehow have control of the situation. But as your pastor, I'm also fully flexible and open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit says, Joe, you need to focus on this area, I'm flexible. I'm totally open to change. But I also feel this really serious obligation when we come together on Sunday mornings to be planful about what we're going to focus on in the scripture, because this really is the most important spiritual meal of the week when we get together. And I just want to make sure I'm taking that very seriously. Pastor Vicky, she's a planner. Not all the time, but she's a planner. If you come to our house, there's usually a piece of paper on the refrigerator or in her notebook that is the menu for the next week or so, right? I mean, she's very planful about what meals we're going to have in the Case household. And I'm every once in a while, she doesn't know I do this, but every once in a while I'll sneak and look at the refrigerator. I'll sneak and I'll look at her notebook just to kind of see what's on the menu. Because when you were in elementary school, they always posted the menu and you knew when it was pizza day, right? But she's very good about planning the menu. On some things, though, for me, I'm a procrastinator. So I'm with you if you're a procrastinator. And I think all of us might be a little bit this way with certain things. I pretty much always wait until the 11th hour, until like April 8th to do my taxes. Because I knew my taxes are due on April 15th. This year they were due on April 17th. But I usually know I have to pay taxes. I usually owe taxes. I'm not one of those people who files on February 2nd and has my big return, you know, ready to go. What am I going to spend it on? Typically, the way our taxes go, because we're self-employed and all that jazz, we usually wind up having to pay something. So I'll wait until the 11th hour. I'll put it off until the latest hour I possibly can to get it done, and I'll procrastinate doing my taxes. There are certain projects around the house that I'm more than happy to procrastinate on. You know, I've got a honey-do list because honey says, will you do this? And so I've got a honey-do list, and there are things around the house that I would be more than happy to procrastinate. Right now, we're in full procrastination mode at the Case household in getting things cleaned up and ready for Andrew's graduation. And some of that's intentional, but some of that's just because we're busy doing other stuff. But, you know, I got to clean out the garage, and I don't want to clean out the garage. I just don't want to. So what I do is I find other things to do instead of cleaning out the garage where I can pretend like I'm making progress. But I know at some point down the road, I'm going to have to do it, Pat. I'm going to have to clean out the garage. And I think that's coming this week because the date for Andrew's graduation party is quickly coming and we got to get the garage cleaned out. Some of us are planners. Some of us are procrastinators. And if we're really honest with ourselves, probably most of us, we're a little of both, depending on what situation we're finding ourselves in. Some of us are planners, some of us are procrastinators, but God is calling us to something more. God is calling us to something more. Over the past few weeks, we've been spending time in Acts chapter 8, and a couple weeks ago, we were reminded that even in our darkest hours, God can work, and that He can use our darkest circumstances to move and advance His kingdom through our crisis, because God's bigger than our crisis and He can use even those tough moments to do His work. Last week we were reminded that through the story of Simon the sorcerer, that followers of Jesus are called to move beyond belief. This relationship with Jesus isn't just about believing that He's my Savior, but He's calling us to move beyond belief and into a deeper relationship with Him so we can receive the Spirit and be useful to Him in the world. And so this week we're going to focus on Philip and his encounter with this Ethiopian government official and what it teaches us about what it means to go deeper. Because when you say, hey, you got to go deeper with Jesus, that sounds really good, but what does that look like? What does that feel like? What implications does that have for me in my life if I'm going to go deeper with Jesus? So we're reading from Acts chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 26 this morning. And we're going to read through verse 35. And you can sit there and read along with me this morning. I'm not going to ask you to stand right now. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 35. And we're just picking this right up from where we saw it last week. You'll remember that Philip is in Samaria, the last place any good Jew would go, because he was running from the law, because the church was being persecuted and Christians were being pulled out of their houses and they were being arrested and they were being thrown in jail for believing in Jesus as their Savior. And Philip was on the run from the law. And where did he run? He ran to the last place the Jews would look. He ran to Samaria, and he's doing all sorts of missions work in Samaria. And we find him in Samaria in verse 26 here. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This would be like meeting James Comey or something like that, or to meet the Secretary of State. This Ethiopian official had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way home, coming out of Jerusalem, heading back towards Ethiopia. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading, not the Columbus Dispatch, not the Springfield News Sun, he was reading the book of Isaiah. He was reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, okay, now you've gone to this road, and you see that chariot over there? I want you to go to that chariot and I want you to stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked, hey, you know, can you imagine you're sitting there on the road, you're reading a book at the rest stop and somebody comes up to your window? Knock, knock, knock. Hey, what you reading? It's kind of what happens here. Philip goes up next to the chariot. He says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, the Ethiopian said, unless someone explains it to me. So the Ethiopian invited Philip to come in to the chariot and sit with him. The Ethiopian was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the Ethiopian, he looks up from the passage that he's reading. They're sitting there in the chariot. He says to Philip, he says, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about? Who is he talking about, himself? Or is he talking about somebody else? And that opened the door. And Philip began with that very passage of scripture, and he told the Ethiopian government official, this high-ranking official, about the good news of Jesus Christ. Philip wasn't necessarily a planner or a procrastinator. Philip was a performer in a lot of ways. God gave him direction, and in this story, we see that he just jumped right in, and he obeyed God. He did not spec out a plan. He didn't get out, you know, a planner and write down a bunch of details. He didn't put it off. Oh, I know you said go to the South Road, God, but I got to go to Walmart first and pick up a couple things for Mother's Day, and then I'll go to the South Road that heads to Jerusalem. He didn't spec out a plan. He didn't put it off. God told Philip where to go, and Philip just simply went. He just obeyed. Simple, quick obedience. Yielded to the authority of the Father. Folks, we often find ourselves asking God to show us His will. Don't you? You in your prayers, Father, show me your will. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be doing? Tell me where to go. We wring our hands over it. God, what am I supposed to do? Show me your will for my lives. And we sit with the gear shift in neutral a lot of the time, wringing our hands over what's God's will for my life. What am I supposed to be doing in my life? And most of the time, folks, God just wants us to go. He wants us to go. Planners, quit looking out so far ahead. The opportunity might be right in front of you. Just go do it, as Nike says, right? Procrastinators, stop delaying. Stop putting it off. The work He wants you to do is right in front of you. Just jump in and do His will right where you're at. Are you scared? Yeah. Are you unmoved? Yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that, but I'm really not motivated to do it. Maybe you're frustrated that God's will isn't what you thought it should look like. You know, because sometimes I think we have these visions of grandeur and we think that God's will in our life is going to look like something so majestic and pretty and beautiful, when in reality, maybe He's called us to just be the hands and feet of Jesus right where we're at, with the people that we touch every day on a regular basis. God told Philip to go. And in this passage, we're providing an example of what jump in and go looks like. Philip was willing to jump in right where God planted him. He was in Samaria. He didn't have a plan and he wasn't putting it off. He was willing to jump right in and follow God right where God planted him. First, he was told to go to the Southern Road. God was like, Philip, go south of Springfield on 72 heading to Cedarville. You know, it's kind of, he just go down, hang out on the south side of town on 72 on the way to Cedarville. Okay. We'll go do that. Philip was sensitive to the leading of the Spirit in his circumstances. He wasn't bound by any cultural biases or anything like that. He was already in Samaritan country. So Philip was already accustomed to being pushed outside of his comfort zone. So he was in foreign territory. He was outside of his comfort zone. And he was still willing to just go with it, to just follow God's voice right where he was at. And then he was told, okay, you're down on 72 heading towards Cedarville. Go over to that limo. You see that black limo with the flags on it setting over, on the side of the road? Head over to that government limo with the Secret Service all around it. You mean God? The guys with the guns talking into their sleeves security-wise. You want me to go stand by that limo? Yes. Philip, I want you to go stand by that limo. And he was willing to... He was willing to engage in the opportunity that God had placed in front of him, even though it involved a stranger. He didn't know this Ethiopian government official. And even though it involved somebody who he probably thought, well, don't hang out in limos very often. This is kind of out of my league. Maybe I'm not the right person for the situation, God. You see how we can rationalize through that some of the time? But Philip had his heart tuned into the Holy Spirit. And he sensed a spiritual need, and he just jumped in and he went with it. He improvised. He just kind of jumped into this situation with this Ethiopian official. And the result of his obedience to just jump right in, right where he was at, this Ethiopian government official got saved. High-ranking government official on the road from Samaria to Gaza, out in the desert. Got saved, and he got baptized. And he got baptized too. In Acts chapter 8, 36, we pick up the story here. As they traveled along the road, after the Ethiopian government official got saved, he accepted Jesus into his heart. He started understanding that God had this plan for his life, and he was working through Jesus. He says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the Ethiopian said to Philip, "Look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the limo, stop the limo, security, clear out a space over here around the water. And then both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, it says the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. So Philip is removed from the story. But what I think is more important in this story, don't miss this. And the Ethiopian, he didn't see Philip again, but he went on his way rejoicing back to Ethiopia, back to Africa, where he had come from. This Ethiopian government official, you see, he was an influencer. He was an important person. He was a high up government official who he took the gospel. Isn't it interesting how God plants seeds and works? But he took the gospel all the way from Samaria to Africa. And as you study the tradition of the church, this is how the Christian faith began on the continent of Africa, because Philip was willing to jump in right where he was at and witness to somebody who was on the road heading south from Jerusalem. Because of one man's obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit, Philip, because of his obedience, the gospel of Jesus was taken from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Just like Jesus had kind of prophesied back in Acts chapter 8, verses 1. He's like, you're going to take my message. You're going to take the good news. You're going to take it to Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here's Philip, one guy, just being open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He, like in his own obedience, took the gospel from Jerusalem to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's awesome. The way that God works in this situation. It was Philip's willingness to just jump in and go. No plan. He didn't hesitate. He didn't procrastinate. He heard the voice of the Spirit. He just jumped in. He was obedient. It was this willingness to just jump in and go that led to the fulfillment of this prophecy. But Pastor, I'm a planner. You don't understand. I need details. We need line items. We need a run of show. How are we going to pay for this? Freestyling is not my thing. But Pastor, I have better things to do right now. Can I just do it later? I go through this every Tuesday night with Andrew about the trash. Andrew, it's time to take out the trash. I'll get to it, Dad. That's at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Andrew, trash night. Yeah, I'll get to it. I'm like brushing my teeth and going to bed, knocking on Andrew's door. Andrew, it's time for trash. He's like, okay. Just procrastinate. Pastor, I have other better things to do right now than to follow the Spirit in my life. Can I just get these things done and maybe do it later? Finding excuses. Jump in. Go. Folks, don't underestimate the opportunity to which God calls you. You're like, my life in the midst of my circumstances right now, how can God do anything in these circumstances? Don't underestimate your opportunity. Don't underestimate it. God may be pushing you to jump in and go in a relationship in your life. And it may be your obedience in that particular person's life that is the game changer. That not only helps that person, but that goes on to help a ton of other people.
Amen.
Because that's the way God works. He may have placed you right in the circumstance you find yourself in right now. to show the love of Jesus to someone that you influence. You are there for a reason, for such a time as this. You're placed in the situation that you're in. It may be a friend. It may be a neighbor. It may be a coworker. I don't know, maybe sometimes you might be sensing that he's opening the door for a spiritual conversation to happen. And you have to be courageous enough to kind of jump in. Sometimes you may be sensing that he's just opening up the opportunity for you to demonstrate that you care. Because sometimes sharing the love of Jesus isn't like going and holding somebody by the hand and saying, "Can I introduce Jesus to you as your personal..." That's not what it's all about all the time. Sometimes people don't need to hear that. They need to feel the love and the compassion and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus through Jesus' followers. Words are one thing, actions are another, and sometimes we just need to demonstrate it in our relationships. Sometimes it means that, oh my gosh, the light bulb goes off and you realize that relationship's broken and I need to go tell that person I'm sorry because I was wrong. And I've been too prideful to say I'm sorry. And being the one to be the bigger person to reach out and broker a peace may be the thing that breaks out revival. And there's just a hint of that sometimes that I think at Maplewood, we've got a little bit of that going on, that maybe sometimes we need to extend an olive branch of forgiveness and of humility to one another so that the Holy Spirit can have the freedom to break out and to move. It may make you feel uncomfortable. It may make you feel awkward. You know, I love it when, you know, we've got the best escape routes all the time these days when we're, you know, getting into awkward situations. People hate to be in situations when there's nothing to say. What do? When we're feeling awkward, what do? Come on, you know what we do. Anything than rather than having to deal what's going on right now. Right? I mean, we find these escape mechanisms because it feels awkward. We don't feel capable. We feel uncomfortable. But even when we feel uncomfortable and we feel awkward and incapable, don't hesitate, folks. Jump in. Go. If Philip would have let his cultural bias overrule the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Samaritans may never have learned about Jesus. If he would have let, as a Jew, his cultural bias get in the way, maybe the gospel never would have been planted in Samaria. If Philip would not have been willing to be led by the Spirit into an unfamiliar, uncomfortable situation with the Ethiopian official, the gospel may never have made it to Africa. Because it was all on Philip. It was all on his obedience. And you're like, yeah, well, God could have used somebody else. No, that was what Philip was called to. And we read in this story about his obedience to God's calling to jump in and to move and not to plan and not to procrastinate, but just to go and do what God told him to do. As followers of Jesus, are we willing to be stretched outside of our comfort zone? Are we willing to be stretched outside of our comfort zone, even at our own personal cost? Because to follow Jesus is going to cost you something. And if following Jesus hasn't cost you something yet, I would say you're not really following Jesus. You're following some sort of ideal. You're following some sort of myth. You're following some sort of warped form of what Jesus is. But following Jesus, submitting our hearts and our lives to Him, it will cost us something. He will pull us outside of our box. You know, your box, you've got everything situated in your life. Front, back, forward, you got it all. I'm in my box. I'm really comfortable here. And when you follow Jesus, He winds up picking you up by the scruff of your neck and pulling you out of your box and throwing you into a situation where you have no comfort at all. And you know why He does that? Because He's like, if you're really going to follow me, you got to be comfortable being put in circumstances where you have to trust in me. Because it's not by your might, but it's by my might that things are going to get done here. It's going to be by my power. It's going to be by my might. Philip was forced from his home as we read this story. He was forced from his home. He was forced from his comfort zone. And in the midst of all that, he was willing to jump in right where God placed him. And the Holy Spirit was able to work. Because he was willing, even though he wasn't comfortable. Where do we find ourselves planted today? Where do you find yourself? Think about your circumstances. Think about your household. Think about your neighborhood. Think about your workplace. Think about your church. Where do you find yourself planted today? And folks, are our eyes open to the spiritual opportunities in our current circumstances? Because a lot of the times we look at our current circumstances and we see, okay, I got to pay that bill. Or I've got this diagnosis that I got to deal with. Or I've got this relationship that's broken. Or I've got to fix that gutter on that house because it's driving me crazy every time it rains and it's making water go in the basement. We see those things. But are our eyes open to the spiritual opportunities around us? Because if we don't see the spiritual opportunities, ain't nobody going to see the spiritual opportunities. One of the things where I work, one of the things I tell my management team, I tell them, you know, folks, if we want to affect change, if we want to get our goals achieved, if we want to do things, our people have to see us do them. We have to be the ones that make this happen. Because if we don't make it happen, the rest of the team is just going to do their own thing. We are the ones that open the eyes to the opportunity. And we as the church, we as the body of Christ, are we seeing the spiritual opportunities in front of us? Because I'm telling you, the people outside of the walls of this building aren't looking for them. It's up to us to be in tune with the Father in heaven, with the Holy Spirit, so that our hearts are sensitized to the spiritual needs that are all around us. Amen. Are our eyes open? Are we willing to trust the voice of the Spirit, even if He's telling us to do something that's really awkward or uncomfortable? Are we willing to trust the voice of the Holy Spirit? Or do we find ourselves making excuses to delay? Do we find ourselves making all sorts of, I have to have a plan before I act. I need more time. Before we can do that, I need some time to plan. Or I have other things to do right now, higher priorities. Maybe I'll get to that need later. Plan, procrastinate. One of the things I want you to see this morning is whether we label ourselves planners or procrastinators, and don't miss this, whether we label ourselves planners or procrastinators, they are both just ways to rationalize why we should not go right now. The planner says, I need a plan, wait. The procrastinator says, I'll do it later, wait. They're both reasons to not go. They're both reasons that we throw up and rationalize why we should not go and jump in to what God's calling us to do in our lives right now. Part of what it means to go deeper with Jesus, folks, and we've been talking about this, going deeper with Jesus, going beyond belief. Part of what it means to go deeper with Jesus is to be willing to jump in and go right where God has planted us. That's what it looks like. The kingdom needs planners. Don't get me wrong. If we're going to be responsible with the resources that we have, yeah, we do need planning. I'm not saying that we just kind of freestyle everything. There's a place for planning. And sometimes it is wise to wait. Sometimes it is wise to wait. But when planning or procrastinating become excuses to not respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's a sign that we have more that we need to surrender to Jesus Christ. You get that? When planning or procrastinating become excuses to not respond to the leading of the Spirit, it's a sign that we have more we need to surrender to Jesus to go deeper. It's a sign we need to go deeper. And so I've got this challenge up on the slide this morning that I want us to think about this week. Practical ways to go deeper with Jesus look like this slide. To go. And how do we go? I think, first of all, we need to ask God to help us to be more sensitive to the spiritual needs around us. We get so consumed with the things of this earth and the things in our life, the temporal needs, and none of them they're legitimate needs, but we get so consumed with them that we rob ourselves of the opportunity to pay attention to the spiritual needs that exist in front of us. So we want to ask God to help us to be more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. We want to ask God, and I think we need to specifically, as followers of Jesus, going deeper means asking God, I need help. I need you to open my eyes to the spiritual need around me because I can't see it on my own. in my own human flesh, my own human perception, the way that I view things, I might misread it. I need the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to the spiritual need that is around me. That's not so bad, is it? To just submit yourself to God and ask Him to open your eyes so that you can see what's really going on. Another thing we can ask God to do, to go deeper, God, give me the courage. You know, not only to be sensitive to the spiritual needs around me, but when I actually see a need, when you do open my eyes, when you answer that prayer, because once He answers that prayer, then you go, uh-oh, awkward, incapable, insufficient resources here. God, give me the courage. Give me the courage to act on the need that I see. Equip me for the moment. You know, equip me. Philip, he just kind of went with it. He went with it. And he gets in the limo with the Ethiopian government official. You know, and he's sitting there reading. He started asking questions about the scriptures. And God equipped Philip to use that moment to teach the guy about. They had Sunday school. They had small group in the limousine of the Ethiopian government official. And it wound up where Philip was able to be equipped by the Holy Spirit to help this guy see and understand what the scripture was saying and realize that he needed to accept Jesus into his heart as his personal Savior. That's pretty cool. Just-in-time delivery. Remember, we've talked about that in the past. You're like, that's kind of scary. I need to know what resources I've got in. But God says, uh-uh. Jump in. Go. I will give you what you need. It may be awkward. It may not be pretty. But I'm going to give you what you need when I call you to that moment, and I'm going to help you accomplish my will if you'll just trust me and you'll just jump in and go. Jump in and go. And I think the other thing that ultimately the prayer that we're praying, when we go deeper with Jesus, to go deeper with Jesus means we're just simply praying, Father, use me as an instrument. Make me an instrument. Use me, work in me, work through me to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the people around me. Open my eyes to the need. Sensitize me to it. Give me what I need. Equip me to give me the words to say. But use me as an instrument of your peace and of your good news. I think as we go deeper with Jesus, we realize we don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to try to pretend to do it on our own. He wants to go with us, and He wants to equip us, and He wants to give us victory over these awkward situations where we feel incapable, and He wants to help us to advance the kingdom in corners that we never thought would be possible. In corners that we never thought would be possible. Jump in! Go! Don't make excuses. You know, if the Spirit is speaking to you, especially in terms of kingdom work, if the Spirit is speaking, trust Him. Jump in and go. Amen? Yeah. Do you think we can kind of pray into some of these things this week? I'm going to pray with you this morning. We're just going to ask God to help us to be people of courage, people of faith, people who are committed to going deeper with Jesus. And what does that look like? Jump in and go.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.